Sleeper Wire, the only fantasy football radio show with more than a dozen multi-time, multi-league, multi-year champions. Listen to the Sleeper Wire show every Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Dash Talk.
Hey everybody, before we start the show, I want to tell you once again about PristineAuction.com. Daily auctions ending every single night. Hundreds of items perfect for your man cave. Everything is JSA certified. They use the best authenticators in the business. It's definitely affordable and it's 100% free to register and bid. And you only pay when you win the auction. Go to PristineAuction.com and let them know that you heard about it from SleeperWire. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E Auction.com.
I challenge you to a duel.
It's the only argument I need.
I don't want to talk to you no more, you.
You got a lot of nerve.
Soon you will know what it is like to be defeated.
Stop defending him, Sean.
All right, let's go.
I'm ready for Rosie.
Hey sleepers, welcome to the Sleeper Wire Great Debate Show, where we do a fast debate between two players. I'm your host, Professor Chris, on Twitter at CMOR SleeperWire. And with me, we got Dirty Jobs Mike on Twitter at DrKane21. What is going on, Mike?
Not much, man. Just excited about some more football. I'm always loving talking football, debating these great players that stood out this week. I think this is going to be a really good one, too. I like both of these guys.
Yeah, we have a good one this week. You know, some weeks with the great debate, we don't have any significant breakout performances or no significant injuries. So it ends up being, you know, like not super impressive ones, you know, like when we did Kenny Stills and Deontay Thompson, there was a lot of backlash on that. Like, oh, you're never going to play either one of these two guys. And I was like, you guys are missing the point.
Right. When there's a bunch of bye weeks and things like that, you have to go with what you got. And to me, those guys were great options. Granted, they both just did terrible. But, I mean, what can you do? They could also had huge games.
Right, yeah. I just want to remind people who maybe didn't listen to that show that the whole point of these is to determine who to pick up off the waiver wire, who's available for you to put claims in for, not debating on stud players. So, anyways, what we're going to be doing here, if this is your first time listening, we're going to spend a couple minutes arguing for our player, 90 seconds for rebuttals, and then wrap it up with final thoughts in an actual debate-style argument between two players. And the purpose of this is not for us to come to an agreement here. I'm not trying to convince Mike. He's not trying to convince me. We're trying to give our listeners legit arguments for and against these guys. And today, like we said, we got a good one. We got Juju Smith-Schuster versus Robbie Anderson. I've got Juju. Mike has Robbie. And I'm going to kick it off with Juju here. The 6'1", 250-pound rookie out of USC has finally emerged. Taken at the end of the second round by the Steelers this year, people have been waiting to see what he can do on the field after he impressed at USC. The Steelers had a void in their wide receiver core, and they decided to fill it with this guy. So first, let's get the obvious thing out of the way. 7 catches, 193 yards, and a touchdown. That's an absolutely massive game. He actually won me a week this week where I plugged him in at 8 o'clock on Sunday night, and he won the game for me. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that this is a guy who you can expect games like this weekly from or even on a regular basis. This was a huge game. However, it certainly doesn't hurt to mention that when you consider that Juju Smith-Schuster is owned in less than 50% of leagues, and the vast majority of owners did not play him this week. Like I said, I had a decision to make Sunday night about Tate or Juju and decided to go with him, and it worked out really well. Now, this is a guy who has been targeted 36 times through 7 games, and keep in mind he didn't play week 1. He hasn't been seeing a ton of targets until this week, but keep in mind that Martavis Bryant was the wide receiver 2 for the Steelers for the first 7 weeks of the season. This week, Brian got demoted to the scout team, and Juju stepped up in a huge way when Martavis Bryant was declared inactive. All of those targets that were going Bryant's way, where he was splitting the targets with Juju, are now all going to Smith-Schuster. He had 10 targets this past week. but don't think that this is just some flash in the pan player who had one good week and hasn't done anything all season. Juju has 4 touchdowns on the season now, which leads all rookie wide receivers. He's gotten 7 targets in the red zone so far, catching 4 of those with 2 red zone touchdowns. And for the record, only 9 players in the league have double-digit red zone targets right now, so 7 is pretty good for the halfway point for the season. Now let's face it, we don't know what's going to happen with Martavis Bryant at this point. Being demoted to the scout team and... All right, Mike, let's hear that rebuttal.
Okay, so as I prefaced before everything, I also like Juju Smith-Schuster. There's also a lot of things that I don't like about him. For starters, he's still the wide receiver 3 on that team. I know Mike Tomlin. I know his coaching style. I know his coaching type. What happened this weekend was a direct result of what Martavis Bryant had done the week before. He wanted to show him that he can use that wide receiver 3 very effectively. He could get that guy the ball as much as he wanted, and they could score touchdowns. I mean, the guy went off 7-for-10 for 193. That's insane with the touchdown. Granted, one of those was a 97-yard touchdown, but he looked good. He looked serviceable. But to me, Martavis Bryant is still going to be the better wide receiver on that team. This was all just a growing up lesson. Tomlin's going to sit there, have a talk with Martavis in the old locker room, and they're going to say, you know what? This is what we can do here. We can have games like this, or you can sit there and whine on Twitter. Martavis is going to come around. So to me, I feel like he is the faster receiver, the more versatile receiver, and Juju Schuster is going to take a back seat to the production level that he's going to be getting as far as the future goes with the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's still going to be Martavis.
All right, let's go ahead and jump over to Robbie Anderson. Mike, kick us off here.
Okay, Robbie Anderson. This guy has been looking good this year. He's been getting quite a few targets. In fact, the lowest he's been targeted this year was in week 2, where he only got 4 targets. Maybe he hasn't been catching a lot of them. Maybe it's because McCown's the guy throwing the ball. We all know McCown. He is looking really, really good this year, but he still has accuracy issues long term. That said, they seem to be starting to get it together. The past couple of weeks, he's had 11 targets, and he's hauled in 9 of those for 139 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's activity like I've never seen on that team. And if you look at who's better on that team as far as Curse and Robbie Anderson, Robbie Anderson looks like he runs cleaner routes. He looks like he runs faster routes, and he has the ability to get open a little bit more than Curse does. Curse was the guy at the beginning, but you can see how McCown has decided maybe this Robbie Anderson guy, who, if you remember right at the end of last year, was lighting it up. I remember having this conversation plenty last year. Is Robbie Anderson worth a waiver wire pickup because of his activity? Granted, that had everything to do with the rookie quarterback that was servicing at the time, but you can see that the talent level has surpassed that, and he's starting to have this great rapport with McCown, who, by the way, is a top 10 quarterback. We really need to start looking at the Jets seriously, because this is a winning football team. They're not winning, but they're not losing by much, and they're facing really tough teams, tough situations. At Miami, they just lost to Atlanta, but they barely lost to Atlanta. And in that game, he was 6-for-6 for 104 with a touchdown. This guy's got huge averages throughout every single game. And to me, it looks like he's going to be the wide receiver 1 on that team long term. Whereas Schuster, like I said, he's the wide receiver.
All right, I'm not going to lie. I like Robbie Anderson a lot. He's having a solid year for a guy who is basically undrafted in most leagues. My main concern for Robbie Anderson is the Jets offense as a whole. I know you were just praising them a whole lot, but just as a whole, their offense, I don't think is that great. He scored 3 touchdowns this year, which was pretty good. 1 was a great all-around game, 6-for-104 and a touchdown, which he did this week. Week 3, he was 3-for-95 and a touchdown. But aside from that, it seems like he struggles, especially when the matchup should be great. 2-for-28 against Oakland, 2-for-16 against Cleveland, 4-for-76. I mean, good yardage, but still only 4 catches against New England. Now, 76 yards were great, but those 4 catches came on 12 targets. 12 targets and he only caught four of them, which is something that he's done before. He did the same thing in week 13 of the 2016 season, 12 targets and four catches. Now, I think Robbie Anderson is a guy with a lot of potential. He's a guy I would like to have on my team, and even this season. He's a guy who can put up some big games, much like Juju is. Granted, Anderson most likely, I don't think he's going to go for 7 for 193 and a touchdown, but he'll put up some good games for you. However, my question is his consistency. Will he be able to do it on a semi-regular basis? Is this a guy you would be willing to trust, especially in weeks 12 through 14 when he gets Carolina, Kansas City, and Denver? Those are three tough matchups for wide receivers when you're needing to win to get into your fantasy playoffs. So I just think you might need to be a little cautious. All right, guys, before we wrap it up with final thoughts, I have another thing to mention. I'm giving another shout out to a second sponsor of The Great Debate, Fantasy Champs. We have an offer 10% off an order at fantasychamps.com. They have the best hardware for your league, including championship trophies, rings, and belts. They even offer fantasy loser trophies, which is pretty awesome. Go to fantasychamps.com and use the promo code SLEEPERS for 10% off your order. All right, guys. Well, I'm going to take it back here to Juju for a second here, finish up those final thoughts. As I said, we don't know what's going to happen with Martavis Bryant at this point. Being demoted to the scout team and made inactive for reasons that are not physical health related are not good signs that he's going to be a super impactful player for the Steelers all season. Signs are pointing to them trading him, even though I know they've said that they aren't going to do that. If Bryant doesn't come back, then by picking up Juju, you've solidified your team's wide receiver three or flex position with a guy who has the potential to be an every week start for you. He's currently 48% owned. I expect it to jump a whole lot higher. That's a little higher than we like to do for The Great Debate. We try to choose guys who are well under 50% owned. And to be fair, I did call Juju when he had two catches for 59 yards last night before he exploded. But an opportunity to grab a wide receiver at this point in the season who can do the things that he can do don't come around very often. He's still available in more than half of leagues, and this may be the last week you'll be able to grab him. Next week, he's on a bye, but then he gets the Colts, Titans, Packers the next three games, and plays the Patriots in week 15, so he could be a great playoff start for you as well.
And again, I can't stress enough that I do like Juju Schuster. I think he's a great receiver. I just
It's Juju Smith-Schuster.
Juju Smith-Schuster. I apologize. I always throw out one of the names. Anyways, he's a good serviceable receiver, but I just think that this is more of a Martavis Bryant lesson than it was a Juju Smith-Schuster outbreak game. I think that we see Martavis Bryant come back into that role after the bye week, a little bit more mature and a little bit more grown up. And when you look at the other end of the spectrum, who else is on the Jets that Robbie Anderson has to compete with? I mean, Curse, he's been moved down depth charts time and time again. So I don't know. To me, he's just going to be a guy that could absolutely come out and win you a fantasy championship.
What about ASJ?
ASJ is good, but he just doesn't seem to get the red zone targets like he was getting at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, been a couple down weeks for him, but I think that's okay.
Yeah, hopefully it's okay, especially if you're an ASJ owner. But as I've watched it, I've really not liked the trend I've seen there. And it seems like this guy's getting the uptick in targets.
All right. Well, hey, that is going to wrap it up for this great debate. A couple final things before we go. Make sure to check us out on Dash Radio every Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern. I want to encourage you guys to go to sleeperwire.com, check out our weekly rankings. You can submit a question to the Sleeperwire crew. You can find us on Twitter at Sleeperwire Show. And you can find us on Sleeperbot at Professor Chris and Dirty Jobs, and on the Fantasy Life app at Professor Chris and Dirty Jobs. And one final thing here. Today's show is sponsored by Third and Nevins Watches, luxury timepieces that make a statement. Clean, sophisticated designs, wearable in all situations. The highest quality craftsmanship, incredibly affordable prices. Visit thirdandnevins.com and order today. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you next time.